Appreciate you being here as well. 1 Timothy chapter 3 this morning. 1 Timothy chapter 3. I am going to begin to preach on missions. The month of May will be our missions month. And we'll have some missionaries. We've already had some, but we'll have some missionaries in the month of May. At the end of month of May, we'll take up our faith promise and towards missions. And so I want to start beginning to teach on missions, begin to make us aware, maybe to bring some things back to our mind and heart concerning missions. And so I want to start with this passage here this morning, and I probably will finish it up here this evening. But as we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word, let's read verse 15 and verse 16 and bring you the thought that the Lord has on my heart this morning concerning missions. The Bible reads, the Holy Ghost of God has penned, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." Father, we come to you in Jesus' name. Lord, we humbly come to you this morning. God, just desiring, Lord, to do your will. God, seeking this morning, dear God, to be exactly what you want us to be. And so, Lord, we pray, God, to guard our lips and guard our mind. Father, that all things that will be said will be said for the glory of God. Father, move hearts and move lives. Father, move this morning in the way of missions. And God, I pray, Father, that it will be greater to us than before. God, open our eyes and hearts to these things. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. In 2021, I guess I may pose this question to you. Is missions essential? In 2021, is missions essential? We all know the story of the world. We all know that in Adam and Eve day that Adam sinned and he was disobedient unto the Lord. We also know that Eve was deceived. We know from that day forward that all of mankind has fallen into a sinful nature. We also know that before the foundations of the world that God already planned to send forth His Son to die on a cross for the sin that has been committed. And we also know that there has been a plan from God from the beginning that this world and those of this world only have a certain amount of time. There's going to be governments and there's going to be nations. They will rise and they will fall. We also know that in the plan of God that this world is coming to an end. We also know that before it comes to an end, that there will be an Antichrist that will come upon the scene. And in the Antichrist, he will rule and reign the whole world for a 7-year period called the tribulation period. Now, we that are in this period now, prior to the rapture, which is the catching up of the church before the tribulation period, we know the scripture, we understand the signs, and we understand the seasons of when this will be, when the end of the world may come. And so we find in our Bible, there is no place at all where it mentions anything about America. And so we know that the Antichrist is on his way, or the Antichrist is someday soon, maybe someday in the near future, will begin to rule and reign on this earth. Now, we call these days the last days. We call these days the end of time. And so, with that being said, the world has to go from the very point A to the very point B. The B would be the end of the world. And in the midst of all of that, we, the church, we, the people, we of those of the world, and even America, is coming to a place where the Antichrist will begin to rule. With all that being said, the world is getting worse. The world is coming to more of a sinful place. The world is coming to a place where evil spirits are becoming more rampant, becoming more revved up. You find that the nations are against one another. The people are killing more of one another. There's no regard of life. There's no care of family any longer. There's really no patriotism for countries anymore. It just seems like that things are just going in a downward position. Now, with all that being said, we can find articles in the newspaper, or we can look on the internet and Google. We can listen to the news, and we can bring all of these current events and all that's taking place, and we all have to just come to a place and almost just shake our heads and say, never thought it would ever be this way. I would never thought in my lifetime that I would see where we are. Now, with that being said, in 2021, is missions essential? Is there ever a time when there needs to be and there must be a mission? And we know that when Jesus came, who was the greatest missionary of all men, came to seek and to save that which was lost. The greatest missionary that died on the cross to win the whole world unto Himself and to bring forgiveness of their sin. The one institution, the one organism, the one entity that the Lord Jesus Christ have left behind, that is the answer to all sin, who's the answer to all turmoil, who is the answer to all that's taken place, even in this day in which we live, is the church. Is the church. It is the church this morning, before the end of the world would take place, will be raptured. It's the church today that this world needs. It's the church. The one thing that this world is trying to remove, the one thing that the people of this world is trying to get rid of, the one thing that this world is now attending less than any time ever, the one thing that that the world has right before them on the many streets and many cities and all of the world is called the church, and now it's being neglected. It's being overlooked. It's being as if it's not essential. It's being as if it's not important. The church has now come to a place of a laughing stock, of a mockery. A church, the church is now looked upon as something second rate. It's not even one of the places that many people go on a weekly basis. The church is not even given to in the way of keeping it up and running. The church is the one today, is the one thing it seems to be less attended but less attracted. The church is the very answer for the very time of the end of the world, of the end of times. It's the church. It's the church that's here amongst us today that will give you the truth. The church. And the church today, by and large, is being misused and being used for other things. It's being used for burying people. It's being used for marrying people. It's being used for social gatherings. It's being used for when tragedies take place, for a place to hunker down in. It's being used for a shelter. It's being used for something of someone who needs a social gathering. It's been used for a concert. It's been used for entertainment. It's been used to entertain our children. It's been used for many factors and many factions. And the church has lost its use the way that the world has supposed to look at it, or the way that it was left for, and that is mission. Missions. When Jesus died on the cross, before he ascended unto heaven, he came to the church. He came to those who were going to be in Acts chapter 1. And he said to them, he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. He said, go into all the world and teach all nations. Missions. Not only do the church today, is it vital, and the church is essential, that we began to get involved in missions, whether it's local missions or it's global missions. Whether you go to the mission field or whether you give that someone else would go. We're not talking about something that can and cannot. We're talking about the only organism, the only left behind of the Lord Jesus Christ that will endure, that will not go through the tribulation period, that will not face the wrath of God, that will not come to the place of the end of the world, is the church. Now the church must be involved in missions. We've got to reach the people across the street. They have no other hope without the church. We've got to reach those in another city. We've got to reach those in another state. We've got to reach those in another country. The church is the only hope that they have. Amen! You say, I don't really believe all that, Brother Larry. I'm just not convinced of it. And the reason why is this morning, because you don't believe the church is real. That's my first point. The church is real. Until you get in your heart, until you get in your mind that the church is real, will missions mean anything to you? Until the church gets real in you, will you participate and will you attend and will you love and will you support and will you be partakers of the church? Until the church gets real, you won't do anything with it except attend it from time to time. And you attend it not because you want to attend it, because you're told to attend it. And you attend it not because you really like it here and not because you really want to be here. It's because really that's just maybe no other place you want to go at this moment, at this time. Because you have family here, you have friends here, or you've been here so for some time. The fact of the matter is, missions will never be great in the church until the church gets real in the heart. Never. Is church real to you? The church is real. Now look here in the verse here, First Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. The Bible says something that really just strikes out of great importance. It says this, which is the church of the living God. The church of the living God. The church is real. And when the church gets real to you, you will be in the church. And the church will be in you. Anything that's real in your life, it really becomes part of your life. Anything that's real to you, it really is important to you. Anything that's real, I mean, there's things in people's lives that they didn't think was real, and all of a sudden something happened in their lives, and they said, you know what? That's real. And all of a sudden, it's affected their lives. All of a sudden, they become engaged with that. And all of a sudden, they become very important, and it becomes essential for their lives because, you know what? They say, this is real. And I say to you, I know it's real. The church is real. And how I know that it's real this morning is because the church belongs to God. The Bible says in verse 15, it says, which is the church of the living God. So I'm not talking about a church that is owned by man. That's not the church I'm speaking of. I'm not talking about a church this morning that is led or guided by man or funded by man or supported by man or man has anything to do with its existence. I'm not talking about a church that a guy who decided that he's disgruntled with another church and he said to his other buddies and friends inside the church, hey, listen, let's just go start our own church somewhere down here and call it Glory Land Church. And so we go down there with to half of the other church and we split that church. We go get another church. He's a pastor, he calls himself. People who are friends and relatives, they just join up with them and they call themselves a church. I'm not talking about that church. I'm talking about a church this morning that God owns. The church of the living God. That's the church I'm talking about. And when that church gets real to you, you'll get real to it. And Fred, you won't help and can't help but get involved in reaching people for Christ. We find that it's real because if God is real, then the church has to be real. Right? It's the church of the living God. If God is real, then the church is real. If God's not real, well then the church is not real. And so we find that the church belongs to God. It really is His. All of the church is His. All that it pertains. All of that it contains. All of its furniture. All of its land. All of its grounds. All of its fixtures. All that it is, it belongs to God. Everything that you might see right here is God's. Everything that you see out yonder is God's. All of the world and the contains of the world are His. The church belongs to God. And we find this morning, it's not man's to build. There's not a man in this room, there's not a man who's ever born or ever lived who had responsibility to build the church. None. That's not the responsibility of the man. It belongs to God. You have no business building something that belongs to God. We have no authority. We have no possibility that we can take something that belongs to God and do whatever we want with it this morning. It can't happen and it don't happen. It's not going to happen. So it's not for man to build. It belongs to God. Hey, the church now belongs to God, but it's not the government's to control. The government cannot control the church. It belongs to God. It cannot this morning say anything or everything it wants to concerning the church. It has no authority over the church. It has no power over the church. The White House don't tell anything of the house of God how to do and when to do and when to do it. Amen, Brother Larry. The government is not to control it. It don't belong to the government. The government don't have anything to do with it, nor does the house of God want the government to be involved in anything. So we find that the church belongs to God, not man's to build, not the government's to control. And then not unbelievers to destroy. It belongs to God. There's going to be no unbeliever in all the world who's ever going to destroy the church. It won't happen. It belongs to God. If God wants it to go away, it'll go away. If God wants it to stay, it will stay. Whatever God wants, it belongs to Him this morning. And so I just want to make a point this morning that's very clear is that the house of God belongs to God. The Bible says here in verse Verse 15, the house of God, which is the church of the living God. So the house of God is the church. The Bible says in Acts chapter 20, verse 28, it calls it the church of God. And so this morning, the church that you say you might belong to, or the church that you say that you're part of, the church that you say that you're in, belongs to God. It's His. It's the church of the living God, the house of God, the church of God. And so we got to just make that clear. Number two, the church this morning is real, not only because God owns it or it belongs to God, but it's real because Jesus built it. Not only does it belong to God, but Jesus built it. The church is built by Jesus. Matthew 16, 18. He said, I will build my church. That's what Jesus said. I will build my church. And he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 10, Jesus Christ, the foundation for no other foundation can be laid that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So He's not only the very builder of the church this morning, but He's the very foundation, the chief cornerstone of the church this morning. And so this morning, the church, until it gets real in you, will the church get real about you. Jesus Christ is the builder of it. He's the very chief cornerstone of it. Ephesians 2:20 says, Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and of the prophets. Amen? And so we find that Jesus Christ, which the church belongs to God, and it's Jesus Christ that's building the church, and the church foundation is the prophets and the apostles, but the chief cornerstone of that foundation is Jesus Christ Himself. No man can lay another foundation that's already been laid. Amen? So I'm talking about the church this morning. If we are going to be part of missions, we have to believe and know with a certainty that the church is real. It's real not only because this morning the church belongs to God. It's not only real because the church is built by Christ. But it's real because the church this morning is the one that Jesus built and is the cornerstone of. But Jesus is the finisher of it. In Luke chapter 2, verse 49, He tells His parents, He said, I must be about my Father's business. What was the Father's business? The church that belongs to Him. He says in John 4, verse 34, He says, I'm here to finish His work. What work is He talking about? The church that He owns. He says in John 17, 4, I have finished the work. And so He tells His parents, I'm here about my Father's business, the church. He says, I am going to do the work of my Father, the church. He says, I have now finished the work that my Father has sent me. And then on the cross in John 19, 30, He said this, it is finished. And so the builder, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the chief cornerstone of the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, He not only began, but then He said He has finished it. Began and finished. And so now we find that the church is real because it belongs to God. And it's real because Jesus has built it. Can I say here thirdly that the church is real because it's based upon the Holy Ghost of God. It belongs to God, built by Christ, and it's based upon the Holy Ghost. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, the Bible says that the Holy Ghost conceived Christ. There be no birth of Christ without the Holy Ghost conception. Is that right? A Mary being of a virgin, the Holy Ghost of God came forth and came within Mary and conceived of her a son. They called His name Emmanuel. And so we find the Holy Ghost conceiving Jesus. We find that the Holy Ghost conceives the church. We know that in John chapter 3 and verse 3, it says, "You must be born again." And then he tells in verse 5 that he that is born of the flesh is flesh, and he is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Again, I say, marvel not, you must be born again. And it's the Holy Ghost of God that births the church. It's the Holy Ghost of God that birthed Christ. Amen? We find this morning, I'm talking about the church is real. If God is real, Jesus is real, and the Holy Ghost of God is real, guess what else is real? The church is real. The Holy Ghost empowered Christ. In Luke chapter 2, verse 40, the Bible says that His strength was in the Spirit of God. The Bible says in Luke chapter 4, verse 1, that Jesus was led by the Spirit. The Bible says in Luke 4, 14, that He had the power of the Spirit upon Him. The Bible says there in Luke chapter 4, verse 18, that the Spirit of God was upon Him. Now let's just kind of recap for just a moment. How important was the Spirit of God in the life of Christ? Well, in the life of Christ, it was Him, the Holy Ghost of God, that birthed Him. It was the Holy Ghost of God that brought strength to Him. That the Holy Ghost of God that led Him, empowered Him. It was the Holy Ghost of God that was upon Him. It was the Holy Ghost of God that brought rejoicing to Him. It was the Holy Ghost of God that gave Him power to do miracles. The Bible says in Matthew 12, verse 28, it was the Holy Ghost of God that anointed Him in Acts chapter 10, verse 28. And it was the Holy Ghost of God that offered Himself through the eternal Spirit when Jesus Christ gave His life on the cross of Calvary. When He gave with joy His life, He done it through the Spirit of God. Did you know that? So He was born of the Spirit of God, or conceived of the Holy Ghost of God, empowered, led, He was strengthened, He was anointed, He was empowered to even do His miracles through the Holy Ghost of God. He was offered Himself through the Holy Ghost of God. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, that He was resurrected by the Spirit of God. And then the Acts chapter 1, verse 2 says that when He gave commandments after He resurrected, He came back. And before He ascended, He gave commandments unto the apostles. And He said to them, the Bible says He gave those commandments by the Holy Ghost. Can I just say to you this morning that the Spirit of God was all involved in every step of the way in the life of Christ. And can I say to you concerning the church this morning that it's the Holy Ghost of God that's involved in the whole step of where you and I would begin, and before you and I are raptured, it's all within the Holy Ghost of God that's doing its work. The church is real. And sooner you know that, the sooner the better off you'll be. God is real. He owns it. It belongs to Him. Jesus is real. He built it. The Holy Ghost of God is real. He's the one who it's based upon. We find this morning that the Holy Ghost of God is the Spirit of Christ. In Romans chapter 8, verse 9, talk about the Holy Ghost. It says He's the Spirit of Christ. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, it says it's the Spirit of His Son. Philippians 1:19, the Spirit of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1:11, the Spirit of Christ. And so this Holy Ghost and this Holy Spirit this morning is the very Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ. You can't separate the two. The two are of one. And so we find this morning that the church, as we see, has involved, the Holy Ghost has been involved in it from the very beginning. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 4, there's one Spirit. Spirit of Christ. The Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit. The Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit is one Spirit. Now let's look at the church as a body, which Jesus is the head, and we've already seen how much the Holy Ghost of God was involved in the head of the church. Let's see how much involved is the Holy Ghost in the body of the church. Well, number one, it was the Holy Ghost of God in John 16:8 that brings conviction of sin, righteousness, and judgment. Without the Holy Ghost of God, none of us would be saved. Without the conviction of the Holy Ghost of God, none of us would be revealed our sin or our sinfulness. Without the Holy Ghost of God, none of us would see that we need to be saved. And so we find the church this morning, all that's been saved has all been convicted by the Holy Ghost of God. It's the Holy Ghost of God that converts the sinner in John 3, verse 3 and verse 5. It is the Holy Ghost of God that indwells the saved, indwells those that are born again, Romans 8, 9. It is the Holy Ghost that seals the church. It is in Ephesians 4:30. Ephesians 5:18. It is the Holy Ghost that fills the church, to empower the church, to influence the church, to move the church. It is the Holy Ghost of God that teaches the church in John 14:26. It is the Holy Ghost of God that that guides the church in John 16:13. It is the Holy Ghost of God that comforts the church in John 15, verse 26, that aids and assists the church. It's the Holy Ghost of God that gives the gifts to the church in 1 Corinthians 12:1. It's the Holy Ghost of God that gives the life to the church in Romans 8:10. We find it's praying in the Holy Ghost, Jude 20. It's a walking in the Holy Spirit, Galatians 5:16. It is Galatians 5:18. It says you're led by the Spirit. And John 4, verse 24 says you're going to worship. You've got to worship in the Spirit and in truth. Can I just say to you this morning, you said, brother, what have you just said? You said it so much. You said it. This is what I said. I said the church is real. And I know it's real because it belongs to God. And it's been built by Jesus. And it's based on the Holy Ghost of God. And when you see it as real, you'll start being into missions. You'll start reaching your family. You'll start reaching your neighbors. You'll start reaching across the world and across the sea. You'll begin to do what Jesus asked us to do. And that is to be involved in missions so that everybody can know that the church is real. Not everybody knows the church is real. Everybody is putting us in the same category as a synagogue. They're putting us in the same category as a temple. They're putting us in the same category as a mosque. They're putting us in the same category as just some other tabernacle. But friends, we tell you something this morning. All the synagogues and all the mosques and all the tabernacles and all the temples will be destroyed. But that which God is in, that which Jesus Christ has built, and that which the Holy Ghost is based upon, will last. It's of eternity. Don't you want your friends to know? Don't you want your family to know? Don't you know? Don't you want your co-workers to know? Don't you know to those that are around you to know that, listen, the church is real! If they really believe the church was real, this church would be full. This church will be packed out tonight at 6 o'clock. And there will be nobody in this room not wanting to come back, but begging to come back. If they really believe that God is real. They really believe that Jesus built the church. If they really believe that the Holy Ghost of God is based upon the church. Friend, listen, they'd be crying out, let me get to the church. That's the only safe place in. Hey, tell me where in the government can you go where it's safe? Tell me where you can go and the education system that's safe. Tell me where you can go, friend, to even in the family. They put a lot of emphasis on the family, and I know that the family's important. I know the family has a place. I know the family is very powerful. And the family, you might say, well, listen, without families, there'd be no church. No, without God, there'd be no church. Listen, God ain't chose the family to win the world. He chose the church to win the world. God ain't chose smart people, intellectual people, colleges, seminars, and any of that nature, governments, or any other people today. He's chose the church. You know why He chose the church? He's chose the church to reach the world because that church belongs to Him. It's built by Jesus and it's based on the Holy Ghost of God. That's why the church is real. Amen? In 2021, missions is essential because the church is real. How do we know that? Well, the Bible says, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15 says, the house of God, which is the church of the living God. It just makes sense to me. No wonder why Jesus said, there is no forgiveness for the blaspheming of the Holy Ghost. No wonder He said that. Do you understand it, Mike, now? You say, well, I don't really get it clear. Let me just give it to you one more time. Just what the Holy Ghost has done. The Holy Ghost of God conceived Christ. The Holy Ghost of God brought strength to Christ. The Holy Ghost of God led Christ. The Holy Ghost of God put power within Christ. The Holy Ghost of God was on Christ. The Holy Ghost of God empowered Him to do His miracles. The Holy Ghost of God anointed Jesus. Matter of fact, He was offered on the cross of Calvary through the eternal Spirit. We find that He was resurrected by the Spirit. He gave commandments given by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost convicts men of sin. The Holy Ghost converts sinners. The Holy Ghost indwells sinners. Indwells the saved. The Holy Ghost seals the church. The Holy Ghost fills the church. The Holy Ghost teaches the church. The Holy Ghost guides the church. The Holy Ghost comforts the church. The Holy Ghost gives gifts to the church. The Holy Ghost is the life of the church. The Holy Ghost is how we pray in the Holy Ghost. We walk in the Holy Ghost. We're led by the Holy Ghost. We worship in the Holy Spirit. And that's why that Jesus said, if you blaspheme the Holy Spirit, you shall have no forgiveness. My, the Holy Spirit. We don't talk about Him very much, do we? Most Baptist churches are scared to death of the Holy Ghost. Somebody might break out speaking in tongues or something. Or somebody might run around here hanging off these fans here and saying hallelujah, glory to God. Or they might be trying to put hands on people and trying to heal everybody. And you know, you say, well, I tell you, those charismatics or those Pentecostals or those Assembly of Gods or those Church of Gods, listen, we can't talk about the Holy Ghost of God, but let me tell you something, friend. The Holy Ghost of God is what the church is based upon. That's why you don't blaspheme it. You better be careful how you treat the church. You better be careful what you say about the church. You better be careful about how you handle the church. You better be careful your attitude toward the church. Because it's based on the Holy Ghost of God. And Jesus said, don't blaspheme the Holy Ghost. Can we say this morning, the church is based on the Holy Ghost. It's built by Jesus Christ. It belongs to God. 1 John 5:17 says it like this, and there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. You're not going to separate the Holy Ghost and Jesus and the Father. It won't happen. And friend, that's why the church is real. Just why the church is real. Can I say number four? The church is bound by the Word of God. That's why the church is real. Because the church is bound. You know, the church just can't do whatever it wants. The church just can't teach whatever it wants to teach. The church just can't act the way they want to act. The church is not free to just be who you want to be. Friend, there is the Word of God. Do you know that God, even God, is bound by His Word? You say, well, God can do anything. Yeah, God can do anything, but there's a few things that God can't do. Oh, I don't believe that. Well, He can't lie. Right? He can't change. I change not, He said. Let me tell you the third thing He can't do. He can't go outside the bounds of His own Word. Do you know that? If He says He's coming back, He's got to come back. If He says that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, and guess what? Whoever does what He says will be saved. I'm just saying. If He says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, guess what? There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. He's bound by His Word. And so let's look at this real quickly. So we find that the church is bound by the Word of God. I'm just trying to show you how real the church is. You say, well, where's the Word of God? Right here. This church is bound by. You that are of the church are bound by this Word. You say you're saved. You say Jesus lives in your heart. You said you've been washed by the blood of the Lamb. You say your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life. You say you got a reservation in heaven. You say you're a child of God. Listen, you're bound by this book. This book, friend, you got to give an account someday, one day, of the Word of God. Did you know that? Every word that you've been given, every word that's been preached to you, every word that's been taught to you by your parents, by your preacher, by somebody else, one day in the day when you stand before God, every man shall give an account of himself before God, and you're going to stand up before the Word of God, where it says, children, obey your parents. And you're going to stand before God on that. Husbands, love your wives as love Christ loved the church. You're going to stand. Wives, submit yourself unto your husbands. That is right or fit in the Lord. Forsake not thyself assembling to the gathering the church. Oh, I can go on and on. All the things that God, one day we will stand up before and give account to the Word. Listen, the church is real this morning. It's not like what people say. Oh, the church can do what it wants to do. The church thinks it can believe this. The church can think it can have that. The church thinks it can come against homosexuality and come against abortion. It can come against murder. It can come against this and come against that. Who does the church think they are? Let me tell you who we are. We belong to God. We're built by Jesus Christ. We're based on the Holy Ghost of God. And those three are one. And we're bound by the Word of God. That's who we are. Any questions? He says, are you passionate with it? You better believe I'm passionate. I'm going to my grave being passionate about the church. The Word is God. That's why we're bound by the Word. The Word is God. John 1:1, right? I'm sure everybody in this room can quote it. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. And the Word was what? It was God. God is bounded by God. We find number two, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21 says that the Word is God, but the Scriptures are given by the Holy Ghost. So the Bible you have before you this morning, and we believe that the King James Version Bible is the Bible for English-speaking people, we find that the Word of God is not just a authority, it's the sole authority. We don't believe the Word of God has authority, we believe it is the authority for practice and belief. The church is bound by this Word because it is, according to the Scripture, it is breathed by the Holy Ghost of God. Amen? So we're not just taking some aim at the Scripture as it could possibly be true. Oh no, not from this pulpit. It is true. It is God. It is the Scriptures that the Holy Ghost of God has breathed. It's all inspired, it says. It has been preserved in Psalms chapter 12. It has been published in Psalm 68 this morning. And so we believe with assurance of our heart that we have a more sure word of prophecy than that time when Peter said, he said, I heard the Lord say unto us, he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. He said, as I heard that, on the Mount of Transfiguration, he said, I can tell you right now that I've got a word that's a more sure word of prophecy than what I heard and what I have. Oh, can I say to you, there's no doubt, nor is there any misleading or misinformation this morning concerning the Word of God. The church is bound by it. It's, God is the Word. The Scriptures are given by the Holy Ghost. It's called the Holy Scriptures. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, called the Holy Scriptures. What does that mean? Does it have any meaning to you? Holy Scriptures? That's like saying, the Holy God. He's not really holy. The Holy Child Jesus. Not really. The Holy Ghost. Not really. And then we get to the Holy Scriptures and you say, oh no, men wrote that. There's errors in it. Their stories don't add up. Men wrote that. 40 men over a 1600 year period has wrote the Word of God. And it's their mind, it's their heart, their experiences, their expressions. It's what they felt, it's what they've done. Oh, but it can be a holy God, holy child. It can be a Holy Spirit. But we can't be the Holy Scriptures. What's wrong? Bound. I'm just trying to not prove to you, because only the Holy Ghost of God can prove to you. But I'm just trying to present to you this morning that the only way that missions is going to be supported in this church amongst these people is when we realize that the church is real. And the reason why we know the church is real is because it belongs to God. It's built by Jesus. It's based upon the Holy Ghost of God. And it's bound. The Word of God is bound by the Word of God. Jesus is the head in Colossians 1:18. Romans 7 verse 4 says that we are the body. Luke 4:4 says the church shall live by the Word of God, not by bread alone. John 10:35 says that the Word of God cannot be broken. Acts 12:24 says the Word of God grew and multiplied. Acts 19:20 said the Word of God grew and prevailed. 1 Peter 1:23 said the Word of God liveth and abideth forever. No wonder Jesus said the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. You know why? Because they're bound by the Word of God. It's based upon the Holy Ghost. It's built by Jesus Himself. And it belongs to God. I just want to press assurance in your heart this morning. The church is real. It's real. Nations will come, nations will go. People will come, people will go. Temples will come, temples will go. A mosque will come, and mosques will go. Tabernacles will come, and tabernacles will go. But the church has come, and it won't leave until it's raptured. Rest assured. There's something you want to get in today. You want to get in the church. That's what you want to get in. It's the only hope that America has. It's the only hope that the world has. It's the only hope that you and I have. The church. The church. You better get in it. You better get in it fast. You better believe that it's real. You better believe that it's really real. Friend, listen, you can take the world if you want to. And you can take the leadership of your flesh if you have to. You can get all the gold and glitter. You can have all the friends. You can have all the drugs and alcohol and the women and the men. You can have all kinds of fantasies and you can have all kinds of entertainment and all kinds of pleasures and lust. And you can fill yourself up with a temporary peace and a temporary happiness. But friend, all that's going to end and all that's going to dissolve. All that's going to go away. And what's left standing is the church. And today the church is less attended than ever. The church is less respected than ever. The church is trying to be kicked off and kicked out. The church is trying to be removed. The church is trying to be canceled. The church is trying to be silenced. Listen, friend, if it wasn't for the church, no telling what the word will be. What for the church? Where would you be? I'd be in hell. I don't think I'd have lived this long. And if I wasn't in hell, I'd live like it. And I would expect nothing of heaven to be part of my life. I'd want all things of hell to be part of my life. Thank you, Lord, for the church. Because the Word of God is real. The Spirit of God is real. The Son of God is real. The God of God is real. The church is real. And when the church becomes real to you, you'll get into missions. Missions will be important to you. It will change your life toward the purpose and plan. Missions will become real and interest and cause, and you'll get involved. You'll want to support it. You'll want to give to it. You'd want to go from door to door. You want to go and pass out tracts. You want to see people saved. You want to see lives changed. You want to see people get in the church. Not complain of the church, because the church is made up of people, sinful people, crooked people. We're just a big, large mess. All of us today, none of us are perfect in here. And all of us have our sins. All of us have our hang-up. Some of us don't even know how to comb our hair. Some of us don't even know how to do much of anything. We don't know how to dress. Some of us look like unmade beds. And some of us today, listen, friend, we're so messed up, and we got so many problems and situations from our past, or drugs, or alcohol, or sin, or sinfulness, or some of us just have pride. We think we're more higher than we ought to be. And some of us think that we're like God's gift to men and God's gift to women. And we're just one mess. Like, if you don't act like I act, if you don't become like I want you to become, well, then you can't be part of me. See, I just say that's what the church is full of today, but that's not the church I'm talking of. I'm just talking of a church that's real. It's real. Do you know it to be real this morning? Missions. I guess I close there, but tonight would you come back? Because I'm going to preach on the second point, is the church is radical. Well, I know that stirs feathers. I know that moves people's eyebrows and stuff like that. You're talking about the church being radical? Yeah. I love it. I love it. When I got saved October 30th, 1988, on a Wednesday night at Parkwood Baptist Church, when I came to that altar, I was broken. For 10 years, me and God has just fought this battle. 10 years. When I was 15 years old, I got baptized in Bible Baptist Church under Brother James Lovell. And I remember getting baptized. I remember going out visitation. I remember going to these camps and going to the Pot of Gold and places like that. And really felt like and thought I was saved. But I never received peace. I never received rest. And of course, going to Aldine High School and playing football and being involved in that arena, we always had to make deals with God. God, if you just let me get through this night or get through this situation, or Lord, I know I messed up this day, but you know, I'm a football player. I'm a quarterback of the football team. We're going to stay. You know, we have all those complaints and all those reasons to why I do wrong. Finally, on that day, October 30th, I've then preached, I've then led people to Christ, I've then gave to church, I gave to missions, I taught Sunday school, I taught Awanas, I preached from pulpits. Matter of fact, I was at a camp one time and they had a preaching contest, and I won that preaching contest. I got a little trophy. I was lost. Well, I got saved. What happened to me on that day when I got saved? I'll just be honest with you today. Not only did I get in the church, but the church got in me. God got in me. Christ got in me. Holy Spirit got in me. The Word of God got in me. And those four make what I have real. And it'd make you real too if you get them as well. Let's stand to our feet. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. Hope you come back tonight. And I've got 5 points. I'm on my second one. We just pray that the Lord will help us through. Is 2021, is missions essential? It will be if the church is real. I presented to you this morning, the church is real. One more time, because the church belongs to God. The church is built by Christ. The church is based on the Holy Spirit. And the church is bound by the Word of God. It's real. It's real. Are you real? That's the question this morning. Are you real, really saved? Or are you just really lost? Maybe you really think you're saved, but you're really just lost. Maybe you're basing your salvation on some prayer you prayed, or some baptism that you went through, or some membership that you've got, or maybe some prayer that somebody asked you to pray. Where are you at this morning, really, truly? Let's just get down to where the rubber meets the road. Are you real? Are you real? Are you real? If not, won't you really get saved and come on? Come on, dear friend. Come on. I beg you. If I could get saved for you, I would. I can't. But come on. Let go and let God have your heart today. There's not a friend in this world worth you dying going to hell over. There's not a sin more pleasurable than what hell is going to be more tragic over. There's not a belief out there that you might want to believe in that's more important than what I preached this morning. Won't you come and really get saved? That's what you really need. You'll be miserable all your life. You'll never find contentment. You'll always run to other things. Because in your heart, you're always searching for something. Until you find Him, you'll never quit searching. You'll never say, I'm satisfied. You'll never say, I'm content. You'll always be searching. Brother George, you sing one verse, if nobody comes, we'll just close. You come, sinner friend. Oh, is God pricking your heart? Is He convicting you this morning? Is He drawing you? Is He saying to you, just go down. Just let go. Just give in. Just repent. Just ask Jesus. Just call on Christ. The devil says, I don't do it. What he said wasn't true. You can get saved later. Wait till you get up in your 20s and 30s or maybe 50s or 60s. Get done with all the pleasures and all the lusts that you have. All these expectations with different men and women. All these things you want to do in life. Then you get saved later. How about you? Father, I come to You in Jesus' name this morning. I thank You for the Word of God. Thank You for truth that You've given to my heart. And God, that we're able to hear. And I ask You this morning, Lord, that we would believe and without a doubt, with assurance in our hearts, with confidence, God, that the church is real. And so in that, Lord, it will motivate us and move us, God, to be part of missions. Father, have Your way now in our hearts and lives as we go home. Bring us back again at 6 as we continue the message, Lord, You laid on our hearts about the church is radical. God, do something in our hearts tonight in between church. Save the lost somehow, some way. God, break into their hearts, convince them, persuade them. Father, we desire, dear God, that souls be born again. God, again, thank You for those that come. Thank You for the saved that are here, the saints that are praying. God, those that just enjoy God's Word this morning, God, bless them for it. I love You, and I thank You for loving us. In Christ's name, amen. God bless You, church.